We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What a great weekend of college football had in Ann Arbor. A sea of maize and blue swarming the field after Michigan takes down Ohio State. We're going to get a chance to have a few comments about that, as well as be joined by a couple of guys, Andrew Vistardis and Josh Ross. They were in the mix the entire time. We'll hear from them in just a few moments, and we'll get a chance to look ahead to a Big Ten championship game here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
It's a blessing, but that page is getting turned. That page is turned, and we ready to rock, man. Like, it's bigger and better things right in front of us, and everything's in front of us, and we know that, and it's just time to go get it.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends, and as we always like to do, want to give you a preview of what is to come on MGO Blue Podcast this week. Monday night, if you missed it, Inside Michigan Football, the radio replay of that, as well as Inside Michigan Basketball. You can go find those on the MGO Blue Podcast feed. Still to come on Thursday morning, Defend the Block, the UNC recap, also Conquering Heroes with hockey captain Nick Blankenberg. Looking forward to that conversation. Friday morning, In the Trenches, Iowa preview, a Big Ten championship preview, as well as a little bit of a motivational speech to get you ready for that game down in Indianapolis. Saturday afternoon, Defend the Block, San Diego State recap, as the basketball team continues their path throughout this basketball season. And then Sunday morning, because it will be early Sunday morning when that game finally finishes up, In the Trenches, Iowa recap. We'll bring you sound from Coach Jim Harbaugh, players in the locker room, as well as Brian Bush and I continuing to break down the game. But now I want to bring in the aforementioned Brian Bush. Mr. Bush, how are you?
I am outstanding. I'll tell you, it was so cool hearing and watching from the booth Jim and Dan call that game. And, man, Dan right afterward, Dan's not speechless very often.
Yeah.
And you could tell just how much that meant to him. And I thought it was really interesting in, I think it was the pregame show, talking to Jim about, hey, you know, when I was flying around the NFL calling games on TV, a part of me was jealous that you were at the Michigan game. So for him to be able to have that opportunity, for Jim to close such a long stretch with a win over Ohio State, so cool.
It was. And I had a chance to talk to Dan again on Sunday night, and I'm telling you, that emotion, it's all still there. It's all part of, you know, when you bleed maize and blue and you get a chance to see what he's been able to do as a Wolverine on the field, in the broadcast booth, it is. And you know, Jim Brandstetter as well, 43 years, my entire life, I've known one voice of Michigan football, and that's been Jim Brandstetter.
Yeah, pretty darn cool. All right, let's get into it with Dan Dierdorf's favorite segment here on the podcast. Shout out, Dan. Hello. 7 from 77. Number one, John, you were confident all week. You always felt like Michigan would win. What was the moment you knew Michigan won, where you knew Ohio State didn't have the necessary answers?
When Michigan responded. It was, and the response came all game long, but Michigan goes down and scores on the opening drive. And I knew, and that was one of my keys to the game, score on the opening drive, score early. Michigan gets the ball back in good field position, and then there's an interception. And we heard from Josh Gattis on Monday night what happened on that play. But and Ohio State eventually ended up taking the lead in the first half there. Michigan responded every single time, and it was probably when Michigan was up 14-13 going into halftime, I knew that coming out of the half, defense taking the field first, if they could come out and get a three and out, that was going to be the signal that it was on. This game was going to be Michigan's game, and I think when I look back on that game, there's so many plays that you can look at and say, play of the game, play of the game, play of the game. I mean, it happened over and over and over again, offensively, defensively, and special teams. But that third down stop by Josh Ross on the opening drive, the defense coming out, I thought that that was huge. And at that point was when I thought, Michigan's got this one.
For me, you know what it was? And it's weird that this is when I felt confident. Remember when Ohio State pulled within 8 on that play that Aiden almost tipped on fourth down, yes, that little dump off to Travion Henderson? And all week, everyone said, well, the margin for error for Michigan was going to be so small. And the reality was it was flipped. Yeah. On that play, the margin for error was so small. And tip your cap, Ohio State on that play, they satisfied that margin for error. But then they didn't go for 2, which is what the book calls for. They weren't ready for it. And then Michigan rumbled right down the field, took care of business, mm-hmm, got the victory. So it's the end. Number 2, we heard from several guys on Monday night. We'll get Andrew and Josh to talk about it here. Give us your POV on the winding road to the locker room. I'm sure it wasn't the old GPS recommended route. Take us through that.
It was amazing. I knew. So I had my 3 daughters were in the stands. They were about 10 or 12 rows up. And I knew that when the game was over, everybody was going to rush the field. And I was excited about that. I've never experienced that in my life. In 97, I was on the field, and we actually did get up to the locker room. They said, hey, everybody's still there. We came back down. So we got a chance to see it coming back down the tunnel. But I wanted to see what it was like rushing the field. Plus, I just wanted to make sure my daughters were safe.
Yeah.
And getting out onto the field, all we wanted to do was celebrate with the fans. I knew I still had work to do. I had a job to do. I need to go up and interview the coach, and we needed to do segments post-game. But I allowed myself to celebrate, and I think my kids understood how big a moment it was when they saw me jumping up and down, dancing around, hugging everybody that wanted a hug at that time.
The only time you as a dad are allowed to be that embarrassing around.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And they were taking videos of the crowd, of me, and laughing. And it was, and that's the experience that everybody had down there. Yep. Like it was pure joy. And then it became a little bit of work to try and get across the field, up the tunnel. And by the time I got there, thankfully, obviously Jim and Dan you know, were carrying the show. They stretched. Yeah. Yep. And thank goodness for them.
And
but
they had no problem.
Right.
We could have had those two guys talk about that game for 3 hours. Our affiliates would have been maybe a little bit irritated, but it'd have been good. Good content.
It would have been.
All right. Number three, in the second half, Michigan ran 24 offensive plays. First down, 17 of them. The only two times there was a third down, Ohio State committed penalties. So technically, in the second half, when Michigan, other than victory formation, never failed to score a touchdown, Michigan was 0 of 0 on third down. There is no such thing as a perfect game or a perfect half. But in that second half, Michigan's offense came about as close as you can.
They did, and it was dominance up front. It was execution by the receivers, execution by Cade McNamara, by those in the backfield. I mean, it was. I've said this time and time again, it was a thing of beauty. It was so much fun to watch. It was domination by the offensive line, and I've seen those guys, and I mean, it's high five, it's fist bumps, it's, you know, the Bash Brothers forearms, it's... I can't tell those guys how much fun it was to watch them dominate. And somebody brought that stat up to me on Sunday that Michigan didn't have to convert any third downs. I thought, that's not possible. And so I went back, and sure enough, 0 for 0 on third downs. That's an unbelievable stat to me, to never be in third down, never have to convert a third down because you were so efficient on first and second down. And what was one of those keys to the game? Mm-hmm. Be good on first down, and they were outstanding.
And it was only once where Michigan faced a second and 10. Most of the second downs they encountered were short.
Yes.
I think the second longest was 4 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible. Speaking of stats, number 4 on our 7 from 77, you look at Ohio State's numbers, hey, they got theirs statistically. C.J. Stroud, almost 400 yards. Their big three receivers combined for 28 catches, but it never felt like they got into a rhythm offensively. As you watched it back, how did Michigan's defense just make every yard, every play like grinding teeth?
Well, because Michigan's defense was disciplined. They knew, yeah, we got to be able to put pressure on C.J. Stroud, and they were able to do that with rushing four up front. David Ojabo and Aiden Hutchinson, unbelievable. And Mozzie Smith, Chris Hinton, Mike Morris, everybody, Donovan Jeter, everybody that was on that defensive line knew their responsibility and executed it. In the secondary, they never bit. They never said, you know what, and there was never a lapse of, hey, we're dominating them. I'm gonna do something different on this play because I want to get an interception or I want to bait them into trying to go deep. Everybody was disciplined. They knew what their partner was doing. They knew what they were supposed to do. They filled their role to a T. And when you do that, you start to frustrate the other side. Ohio State's offense is built, and the success is basically revolves around the fact of getting big plays, getting explosive plays, whether it's Travion Henderson out of the backfield or one of the three receivers. And Michigan just never allowed them to do that. They made plays. I mean, those receivers are special. And it wasn't like they didn't make great catches. They did. It's just that Michigan didn't allow them to get any yards after the catch.
Yeah, there were 4 or 5 catches where you're just like, what could Michigan have done?
Nothing.
You just tip your cap and you move on. We talked about it after the Michigan State loss. Don't let Michigan State beat you a second time. Don't let a great play from them. They're going to make them. They're a bunch of 5 stars over there. Don't let that affect your next play. Number 5. Coach Harbaugh talked about this a little bit on Monday night's show that, hey, you know, we have to make an amendment. There are 13 now games that matter, that count for this ball club. I'm not saying it's a letdown spot because you're playing for a championship, but how does Michigan combat what was this triumphant, amazing moment that literally this team's been building for since last year? Every day of this calendar year, Michigan has been trying to beat Ohio State. They did it. Now they got to play Iowa. How do they muster up the positives from that but not allow that to fester too much in a negative way?
Well, when you prepare to beat the best, and until Ohio State was knocked off, they were the best.
Yep.
Then everybody else you're going to be able to compete with. And that's no different when you play against a team like Iowa. And this Michigan team has been in playoff mode since they left East Lansing. That benefits them moving forward as well, because it was, hey, you got to beat Indiana or it doesn't matter. You've got to beat Penn State or it doesn't matter. You've got to beat Maryland or it doesn't matter. And, you know, a lot of people might say, well, coming off that emotional high, you know, there's never been a championship game that could be described as a trap game. It just, it's impossible for that definition to hold. And this Michigan team is so focused on the task at hand. Yeah, they had a chance to celebrate. Yeah, it was the greatest day of many of those guys' lives. But there's another day that's coming, and they want to make sure they're ready for that. They will be ready for it.
Number six, as long as Michigan does take care of business on Saturday this season, that victory can have real long-term ramifications. I know that the team and the program's not thinking about that right now, but we can talk about it. How does a program capitalize on this momentum in recruiting, in perception, in just the totality that is the 24/7, 365 cycle of college football?
Well, I mean, obviously in recruiting, it's kind of self-explanatory. You win a Big Ten East, you beat Ohio State, and there were so many recruits there that got a chance to see the environment of the Big House. They got a chance to see the tailgates. They got a chance to see what Michigan football is all about. That sells itself. And then you're competing for a championship. You're competing for a playoff spot. But moving forward, now the script has been written. There's a blueprint for how to have a chance to win a championship, how to beat Ohio State. And it starts as soon as the season's over. Now, Aiden Hutchinson, I've mentioned this, and I go back to it because I think it's a difference maker. When he went to Ben Herbert and said, I want you to ring me out every single day, your juniors and seniors have to go to Ben Herbert. They have to give that effort. They can say it, but you know when you're looking at somebody and they're going through the motions. Aiden Hutchinson has not spent a day going through the motion in the last calendar year. He has put an unbelievable effort into what this season meant and what it needed.
I think maybe the coolest image from Saturday was Aiden right after the game ended. I mean, just the tears, mm-hmm. the emotion. It's amazing. Now, we didn't get to see that at the same time, memories and emotions from these two guys we're about to talk to, Andrew Vistardis and Josh Ross. But, you know, you talked to them on Sunday for this podcast, and you talked to them last week leading into Ohio State. They, like Aiden and like so many others, have set the tone. How must they reset the tone? And in your interactions with them during this conversation, did they feel any different or more intense leading into Ohio State as they do here leading into Iowa?
Honestly, I don't think they were any more intense because, and I mentioned it, coming out of that Michigan State game, that there were some hard lessons learned in that game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, however thing turns out after that, we'll never know because that's the sequence of events. But being up 16 and losing, did that affect how they played in the fourth quarter, being up 15 and trying to hold on to a lead, responding to all of those different things that happened in the game of having to go down and score touchdowns to stay one step ahead of Ohio State? How about the fourth quarter at Penn State? All of those lessons are learned and executed, and Michigan has been very workmanlike, very businesslike, very emotionally invested. It's not just, hey, this is a business trip. These kids are emotionally invested in what they're doing. And when you have that investment over the course of a calendar year from off-season, spring ball, summer conditioning, fall camp, throughout the course of the football season, that carries over. And that's something that you can rely on. That's a bank that you can go and make a withdrawal from when you need it. And this is where they need it.
Little prep for you before we get into the interviews. Indianapolis coming up this weekend. So I searched for the best bacon spots in Indianapolis. So Foursquare came across, and I got two results. For just bacon, it's Goose the Market on Delaware Street. That makes sense. So apparently there's two separate lists, one for just bacon and one for crispy bacon. And the first response was Dairy Queen. So let's stick with Goose.
Yeah. Well, nobody likes crispy bacon anyway. You got to have a little fat in there. You can't cook it all off.
And I don't like Dairy Queen bacon.
No.
I mean, listen, I'd eat it. I'll persevere, but.
Well, I mean, if they sprinkle it on top of a hot fudge sundae, now I'm in. Ooh. And that's where I'd like crispy bacon.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to a couple of guys here, and I can't wait for you to hear two captains, Andrew Vistardis, Josh Ross, a couple of guys that are unbelievably focused, unbelievably emotional about what happened last week, but also very focused on what is to come. Well, it seems like I get a chance to talk to my next guest just about every week, which I'm very fortunate to do. That's Andrew Vastardis, Michigan center, captain. Andrew, first of all, congratulations on a great win, Big Ten East Championship, earning a trip to Indianapolis. How does it feel post-game now?
Yeah, first of all, thank you. And, you know, wow, I'm so proud of this team, so proud of this staff, and just so overjoyed, so blessed of how we went out there and executed the game plan to a T. And, you know, just the heart and the pride this team takes in preparing and executing every day. Just so happy and ready to give it another whirl, ready to get back to it.
So a lot of credit is being paid to the offensive and defensive lines, winning the line of scrimmage. When you see some of those compliments, hear some of those compliments, what's that mean to you?
It means a lot because, you know, we try to make each other's days hell every practice, try to get each other better every day. And to have it come to fruition in a big game like that is just, it means the most.
How much joy does it give you? No, it's, having said that, and you guys, one-on-one pass pro, one-on-one run early in the season, full line drill, Ohio State drill, whatever you want to call it now, you guys beat the hell out of each other. And to see the defensive line have the success that they had all season long, but especially in the big games, how much do you guys see that as it's going on?
You know, when you're watching the game, you just kind of you hear the crowd every time they stopped at the line of scrimmage, sack, tackle for loss. You just know those guys are out there punishing some poor guy across from them, and it's fun to see.
You guys have had some challenging moments and some big wins. You won in Madison. You won in Lincoln. You had to come back from a tough game against Michigan State, down in the fourth quarter against Penn State. Obviously, Ohio State in that game. It's probably an easy answer, but I still got to ask it. What's been the best moment so far?
Oh, yesterday. No doubt. No doubt. But honestly, yesterday is the answer, but it's just this whole season, this whole team experience, it's been amazing. And I feel so blessed and, you know, just so excited to keep playing, you know, win in advance.
You always go back with, you know, in hindsight is always 20/20. It's always easy to see a decision you should have made or the one that you did make that looks like it was a genius move, but you had a choice to make of coming back and playing this year or moving on with medical school. Do you ever reflect on that decision and what it's meant after, you know, an 11-1 regular season?
Yeah, I mean, looking back now, it was the easiest decision ever. But, you know, in the moment, it was just, you know, football doesn't last forever, and I'm going to play while I still can, and I love this team, love the guys I'm around, so, you know, that's really what the decision was, and now looking back, you're like, oh, was it even a question? But yeah, so happy with the decision and so happy where we're at.
The way the offensive line played, it's never a perfect game, but it was a dominant performance. When you get the ball in the fourth quarter, you got the lead, you need to take some time off the clock. What's the conversation like out there? Are you guys, is everybody aware of it, or are you talking about it?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, you know, just, hey, call's going to come in a little bit later. Get set at, like, say, like 10 seconds on the clock or play clock left. Just kind of bleed the clock. But, you know, at the same time, you just got to focus on executing your assignment, you know. It's just takes a little time, you know. Cade's really out there controlling all that.
In a game like this, to have a performance like that, and it's offensive line, you can have great individual performances and still not perform well as an offensive line. To have your unit play together and each guy have the game that they had, when you look back and you watch the film, how special is it simply because you rely on your partner and your partner's relying on you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's the truest thing that you need all five to be successful. And heck, I'd probably extend that to the tight ends, receivers, mm-hmm. and the other running backs that are blocking because, I mean, heck, that was a that was a full team effort yesterday, and it's so fun to see, and it's going to be so fun to watch again on film.
Emotions were running high throughout the course of that game. There was a little ruckus in the end zone, and both teams were going. I know there was a ruckus at different points of the game, even when the clock wasn't running, but you were it looked like you were trying to be a peacekeeper. How difficult is it to control your emotions in a moment like that when there's so much riding on the game, there's so much emotion leading up to the game, and you're in the thick of it, you're battling every single play? How do you control your emotions at that time?
Yeah, I mean, it was chippy for sure. You want to rip their heads off. They want to rip your head off. But, that's not what it's about. It's about playing the game to win and winning the game. So, just having that in mind kind of refocuses you. So when I had to run in and get some guys, I'm like, I'm all for it with chippiness. But, just can't get that penalty because that hurts your chances. So it was fun to be a part of, But it probably looked like I was trying to get in it when I was trying to just pull guys back at the same time.
Well, I mean, as long as the official doesn't see it, right? I mean, you can get
exactly,
a couple of jabs.
Exactly.
In once in a while.
I mean, we didn't rip any helmets off.
No, you did not. You did not. At the end of the game, victory formation. There's about a minute left. You guys are waiting for the clock to roll down so that you know you're going to snap the ball for the last time. What was that moment like, knowing that you guys won? You guys beat Ohio State. You're going to Indianapolis.
I mean, first thing I'd say is, I just looked at the coaches and my teammates, and the look in their eyes, every single thing that you go through, all the pain, everything was just, it was all worth it. And just the joy it brought me to know that we did this together, it was unreal.
And then to be able to share it with the fans, because there were 111,000 people there. It felt like they were all on the field at the time after the game as well.
Oh, they were all on the field.
What was that? What was it like for you to just have that moment of, we did it?
Oh, it was amazing. The fans were all great whole game, not just then. It was a great experience, great environment. And, it was so much fun just, seeing family, seeing friends on the field. And then the only thing that stunk was trying to get off.
Yes.
About last 20 yards to the tunnel, I had really had to go to the bathroom. So I was just like, oh, excuse me, please.
Did you make it?
Oh, I made it, yeah. No pee pants.
I'll just ask you this last one. I know that there's a lot of preparation that goes into getting ready for Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. But how do you put aside all that we just talked about, all that emotion, all of the successes that you guys have had? Because as great as it was, you've still got to finish. You still got to win a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I mean, kind of goes back to the preparation I've talked about so much this year. And guys enjoy the process. They enjoy the grind. They enjoy preparing for these games. And we'll just get right back to it, And I think you get your 24 hours to celebrate, and then it's just back to work. And, this team loves to work.
Andrew, appreciate it. And congratulations again, and good luck in preparation for Iowa.
Thank you.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
now joined by captain on the defense, Josh Ross. Josh, what's the feeling like? Because you talked about it last week, right? You grew up in Michigan. You watched your brother go through this. Now you're there. You come away with a win. How do you put it into words?
I'll tell you this. I am the happiest man alive right now, and I'm being 100% honest with you. I couldn't get the smile off my face, you know what I'm saying, the past day. Just honestly, looking back at everything, I mean, yesterday was a movie, to be honest with you, and we executed so well in all phases, and we had our best game. And that's what you ask for in games like these, in big games versus Ohio, in big games throughout the season, just to have our best game, man. And it's like we've been preaching all year, we've been talking all year, we've been working, we've been grinding all year, and it's paying off. And it's only the beginning.
It is only beginning, and I want to get to what's next in just a minute. But you mentioned all phases had their biggest game of the year. And it was like a movie, and we'll talk about the ending of that movie in just a minute, but you had one of the best games. I talked to Mike McDonald, and he said that was the best game I saw Josh Ross play. How do you come up with a performance in a game like that, knowing what's at stake?
I mean, you just go back to all the work, all the preparation you put in. That's where your confidence comes from, is how you prepare during the weekend. One thing we honed in this week, I remember just one of the meetings early on as a defense, it's like, man, like, we've been talking for a year. It's time to go get it. Like, we know what we got to do. Like, the time is now. You know what I'm saying? It's all on the boards. What we doing to beat Ohio State today? The time is now. And we just prepared and had a great week of preparation as a defense. And just as a leader, man, it's like, games like this, it just means so much to so many people, including myself, including our team. But it's also the vets that play with my brother, some of my closest friends that played back in 2012, 2013, 2014. You know what I mean? This game is for them as well, you know. It just means everything. I can't really put it into words. Like, I'm still the happiest man alive, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we still got work to do.
At the end of that game, it's fourth and forever for Ohio State. They come up short. You're on the field. What's that moment like? Because you know they're out of timeouts. You know all the offense has to come out is victory formation. What was it like for you?
So just, you know, going into the entire second half, like, as a defense, we preach coming out that second half, we want to start even faster than we did in the first half. And we did that. And we had a
three and out.
You know what I'm saying? And had a big third down stop. But just moving forward, just going throughout the game.
You can say I had a big third down stop because we all know who made that stop. We all know it. We saw it. We witnessed it. Star of the movie, Josh Ross, third down, three and out to start the second half. Before we even talk about the victory formation, what was that moment like? Because it was such a big moment in the game.
I tell you what, man. I just We got to stop going. It was going into third and two. You know, we were in a formation. I'm like, man, I know what they about to run right here. I know what time it is. Like, I know what front we in. I'm shooting this. I'm shooting it. And I'm just gonna go make the play. You know what I'm saying? I know they about to come with a downhill run, try to get us downhill. They see it's a one-backer box. I'm about to just shoot this thing. And I shot it. I made a big play, and it was a great stop and a great momentum change for our team leading into the rest of the game. But just going throughout the game, man, when we went up 15 just by the end of the third quarter, and it was still a little back and forth, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was like, man, just next play. We all felt it on that sideline. We all, like, excited and revved up because we know what's coming. We feel what's coming. We feel how we have control of this game the whole entire game. And it was just one play mentality. And, man, when we got that stop, man, on third and long, fourth and long, I just can't even explain the feelings, man. I just started crying immediately because I knew we had it. And all the work we've put in, all the things we emphasized coming into this year, into January, and everything we did, like, it paid off, man. Mm-hmm. It paid off. But, like, now it's on to bigger and better things and things we haven't done around here in so many years. You know what I'm saying? So it's go time.
So offense goes out. It's victory formation. Crowd rushes the field. Can you even remember everything that happened from that moment to when you left the locker room after showering up? Because I remember being in that situation, and it's like, It's like you can't believe it's real. You can't believe this just happened. And I still think back, and little bits and pieces come back every once in a while. Can you look back and close your eyes and remember those moments?
As I look back and close my eyes, when the clock hit zero and the fans start rushing the field, number one, I seen Coach McDonald, and we gave each other the biggest hug ever. Like, we did it. Mm-hmm. We did it. You know what I mean? And I just remember, honestly, you know, looking for my brother, because I knew he was going to be on the field, looking for my brother, seeing where he was. And as I was looking for him, I realized that that might not have been a good idea, because I got caught in the back of the mosh pit. And it took me about 30, 40 minutes to get back to the tunnel. But, man, moments like that, you just never forget, man. And I'm just glad to be a part of this team. I'm glad to, you know, be a leader of this team. Me, Aiden Hutchinson, Andrew Fastardis, Ronnie Bell, Hassan Haskins, Brad Hawkins, Cade McNamara, all the leadership, man. Like, I can't even put it into words. It's just amazing.
So back in the old days, a moment like that, and it's done, right? There's no Big Ten championship game. I got a chance to celebrate for weeks. You guys got to turn the page and get ready to go play for the Big Ten championship. How big of a challenge is that?
To be honest, it's not a challenge. I've talked to, you know, some of my old friends I've played with in the past, and it's like they're telling me, like, I've never had the feeling of preparing for a ring game after Ole State. Mm-hmm. It was always, you know, after Ohio, like, we off for a few days, or, you know, the dog days, to be honest with you. But, you know, that page is going to get turned. We got bigger and better things in front of us. And it's just exciting to be in the position that we in the blessed position we in, because of the work that our team put in. You know, like, it's a blessing, but that page is getting turned. That page is turned, and we ready to rock, man. Like, it's bigger and better things right in front of us, and everything's in front of us, and we know that, and it's just time to go get it.
Well, Josh, I appreciate it. Best of luck in Indy.
Yes, sir.
And we'll look forward to seeing you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks to Andrew Vistardis. Thanks to Josh Ross. Back-to-back weeks here on In the Trenches, the midweek edition. John, before we get out of here, didn't want to waste any of that 7 from 77 on talk about outside Michigan football, but there was plenty of news. And as of this recording, the big moves that we've seen from a coaching carousel standpoint, first things first, USC hires Oklahoma's Lincoln Riley. Your reaction to what was a bombshell that dropped over the weekend?
Shocked. I thought if Lincoln Riley was going to make a move, it would have been to test his wares in the NFL. I didn't see him going to USC. It's a great hire for USC.
Yeah, it is.
But it also kind of makes me wonder, is Lincoln Riley afraid of the SEC?
I think Lincoln Riley understands when to sell high.
Yes, because I think that's appropriate.
He went from a conference that he knew he could win a lot with a team that was going to a conference that's not necessarily the case, to another league that at that program they can win a lot, yeah, if he's humming.
I think so.
Billy Napier going to Florida, just your early impressions on that from Louisiana?
I think it's a good hire for Florida. It's an up-and-coming coach. He's had some success over the last couple of years at Louisiana. And, you know, Florida is a tough place because you are in the SEC. You're competing, you know, in the state of Florida for recruits with Florida State, with Miami, with so many different schools across the country that are trying to dip into there. And so it's going to be a challenge. But I'm interested to see what Billy Napier does.
And just a shout out Don Brown. I know, you know, with what happened on Saturday, there's a lot of, you know, talk about the improvements on the defensive side. And listen, Don Brown, he's a great man. That is a job that he cares about. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, and wish him all the best of luck at UMass. I mean, it's where he's from. It's where he's played in the Northeast there. And, you know, we got a lot of players here from that area simply because Don Brown recruits that area. And there's no better man in football than Don Brown.
No doubt about it. All right, this weekend, let's just go in chronological order. I want to get your quick thoughts on the other big championship games. Pac-12, Oregon and Utah in Las Vegas. The Utes ended Oregon's playoff hopes emphatically a couple of weeks ago. Any chance for a Ducks bounce back?
Sure, there is. I mean, that's a prideful unit. Mario Cristobal, you know, their coach is a guy that's going to have them ready to play. They're going to make their corrections. I can't wait to see this game. And there's also thought that Utah, with Kyle Whittingham, now the winningest coach in Utah history, might be his last game. There's some talk of retirement. So there's going to be a lot of emotions at play in that game.
That would be a heck of a loss. He is a tremendous coach. Noon Saturday, Big 12, Baylor against Oklahoma State. Hey, the same feelings we have here in Ann Arbor, they're feeling in Stillwater. Exercising demons over a rival. And I think if Oklahoma State wins, they're in the playoff. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I don't think so either. A Big 12 champ with one loss, I think they do get in, and it's a great opportunity for that program, especially for them to get a win in Bedlam. And again, Oklahoma is leaving the Big 12, and that might be the last time that they were playing in that location.
Yeah, there'll have to be some creativity to get out of the Big 12 early, but we'll see. SEC, 4 o'clock on Saturday, Georgia and Alabama. Bama's lurking. They hung on over Auburn. How close do they have to keep it if they do lose, if they still want to have a chance?
I think there's going to have to be some other things that happen. As much as I – and I know we're going to talk about Cincinnati in a minute. As much as I don't want Cincinnati in the college football playoffs, if Alabama loses, I'm not sure how they get in as a two-loss team. It does depend a little bit how it goes, but – they struggled to score points in the Iron Bowl against Auburn, and Georgia is the top defense in the country.
And the AAC, 4 o'clock Saturday, Cincinnati against Houston. That is a home game for Cincinnati. I think if they win and Alabama or Oklahoma State loses, they are in. Do you?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's enough public sentiment. I don't know that the playoff committee has enough guts to say, you know what, your schedule doesn't allow you to come in, which has always been my thought. When you play Tulsa or you play some of these teams and you're close to losing, if you have that performance in the Big Ten, if you have that performance in the ACC, in the Big 12, you know, in the SEC, you're going to come away with a couple of losses, and they weren't at risk because of the competition they were playing. Now, they did win all their games, and they won games where they put themselves in bad position. And my hat's off to Luke Fickell and that program for winning those games. I just don't think that they were at risk, great risk of losing.
And then 8 o'clock on Saturday, the ACC, Pitt versus Wake Forest. If you want to flip during the commercials of Michigan, Iowa, there's at least that option for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. I mean, and at this point, it's, you know, where's Pitt going in a bowl game? You want to watch their quarterback. He's going to be, likely a first-round pick. Wake Forest, same thing. Where are they going if they win, if they lose? You know, and Wake Forest had a great year.
Yeah.
One that nobody really saw coming. So an outstanding job by both of those programs, but not a highlight of championship weekend.
No, the focus will be in Indianapolis Saturday night, Michigan and Iowa.
That's where my focus will be.
Really?
That's where your focus will be. The sea of maize and blue that we saw in the Big House is going to make its way down to Indianapolis and take over that city, that state.
Potentially for the first of two trips to Indianapolis.
Yes. I appreciate you mentioning that. So, hey, thank you for listening. We will bring you everything this week regarding Michigan athletics, as well as hopefully a Big Ten championship celebration this weekend here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.